Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Oh. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 262nd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumless, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, Happy New Year. How are you doing?
Well, think I'm changing my Facebook name to Rated FTR Express.
I thought you might say that.
No, I'm okay. Up and down, the fact that I'm actually here to talk to you pisses me off because I was supposed to be in Asheville, North Carolina. Right. No, but I will be fine. Had some family stuff happen this week, you know, that kind of stuff. But in general, life is good. I will say this, and this will be my sappy moment. I woke January 1st. I mean, so at midnight January 1st, I was watching When Harry Met Sally, like I always do. And it hit midnight, and I went in there to see my wife and dog. Dog was asleep. My wife was asleep. And it was just like, I don't know if this is what anybody's going for. But in my life, it was just like, they were asleep. I didn't want to bother them. And I was just like, right now, January 1st, 2025, things may happen. But for that moment, my life was perfect. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to go into 2025. It's an exciting time for wrestling, and it's an exciting time for AEW. I'm glad. I'm hoping everybody else had a great holiday, great New Year's, and everything like that.
So you said you were the DD. You were the designated driver.
I was.
For your parents?
Well, not necessarily designated driver. I was more so just making sure everyone was able to get home.
And, yes. Like, 'cause
we went across the street to hang out with our neighbors, so I was just making sure everyone was all good.
Designated walker, so you can walk them across
the street. Babysitter.
Yes. So, yeah, I'd like to say I was working. I work all the time. There is no off days for your boy. Apparently, absolutely no off days, even if I want them. But, no, I had a great time. I was very excited about AEW appearing on Max. I was super excited about World's End. Because I'm not going to talk about everything I do for everything I do when it comes to pay-per-views. But Austin knows I do a lot to make sure as many people as I can get to see the show. So with the Max World goes, it was like, relax. Hey, you can spend the $9.99 to get Max if you want to watch the pay-per-view. And from now on, like I have returned the burden of watching AEW pay-per-views to the people. Floyd
yes.
is just worrying about me now.
There you go.
No, it was great. I mean, 5 years, like I said, there's going to be a new way to talk about AEW as far as the timeline. There's going to be pre-max and post-max. He's like, oh, back in the pre-max days when Cody was there, you know, you're going to talk like that. And then it's the post-max days because this is such a big moment in AEW. So I am excited what it brings. You know, I'm excited for All In, absolutely excited for All In. But yeah, I'm excited for what we're going to get. And tonight felt like a soft reset.
It did. No, it really, really did. Like, it felt like just everybody was able to kind of just, like, you know, get a new look at AEW look going forward.
Yes. And there, but there were a couple segments tonight that I only had one question. Why?
We'll get to those for sure.
All right, we'll get to those. There. Yeah.
When, of course, we do need to go over World's End a little bit, so we'll go over that as well. Before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, turn automatic downloads on, and whichever network you listen to us on, whatever app you listen to us on, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and then you can follow us on Twitter at AT Elite Pod. You can also at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they've got on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And the news of the week has to do with this show, which is the fact that, guys, the All Things Elite End of the Year Awards, the ATE Awards, we are bringing those back. And I got Floyd right here who can go right down with how this is all going to work out.
We haven't done this since 2020. But with us doing a show about AEW, and I saw all the other list out there, make sure you check out Sir Sam's Golden Wombats Awards. He did that for the – it's on the Social Suplex YouTube channel, so make sure you check out that. And, you know, One Nation Radio went through their awards. I think Keeping the Strong Style is doing their awards, and I was like – we do a show. We are the longest running AEW podcast in the universe. With that being said, I want to, which I really don't know if we're the longest one. I saw somebody post that they have been doing a show since before AEW started. And I'm like, but I went through their show and it wasn't like an AEW podcast. They looked like they talked about All Wrestling, which is nothing wrong with that. But that there's a difference, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now I think we're the longest running exclusively AEW podcast show, which is fine, whatever. We might not be. And if someone's learning longer, I salute you. We're as long as the show. They started in January as far as their announcement. The show started in February, so 2019. So there you go. But with this, I was like, hey, let's do an award show. I like to see what it thinks with kind of viewership and stuff being down. And this is not me being negative, just speaking facts. I like to see what from last year was bringing, was causing people to engage. What did they like? Was it similar? So even on the list, I didn't put, you know, if you go through the list, I didn't put some certain things in there. And I'm not adding a thing where it says you can put whatever you want in there. Because I want to see from the options that what we picked, what was your favorite? And if you don't like the options, I completely understand. But the most important thing, we're going to do it. Make sure you put in your email address. And once you participate, I'm going to take all the participants. People in the Social Suplex do not qualify for this, but I'm going to take all the people and I'm going to put them in a randomizer and go boom. And it's going to pick a name and that person will get two tickets in the 100 section to All In. Boom.
Yeah, let's go.
So that's the reward. So make sure you put in an accurate email that I can actually reach out to you on when you do the list, because that's basically when you do it, that's all you're putting in is your email address. So let me know if you're interested. And we're on Blue Sky. Did you notice that? Did you know?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I'm not on Blue Sky, but the podcast is on Blue Sky.
You're not on Blue Sky?
I am not, no.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So, at Blue Sky is our... It's at AT Elite Pod on Blue Sky. So, you do not have to even remember a specific name. It is at AT Elite Pod. So, definitely want to go ahead and... if you're on Blue Sky, go ahead and follow us there. We will be posting the links on Blue Sky and Twitter and everywhere else. And hopefully the Social Suplex people, all of our tag team partners on Social Suplex will help me get that information out there. The last time when we did this in 2020, we got 223. And we had 223 responses. So the goal... 224.
There we go.
So 220. There we go. And it's only, what is it? What? How many categories? I think it's 7. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, there's
four,
not a lot of categories,
five,
honestly.
Six,
we kept it pretty simple.
7, 8, 9. Okay, so yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of categories. Honestly, 5 minutes at most to go through.
At most.
So I don't, because I'm not trying to take anybody's time. I know you have lives, so if you can quickly answer it, submit it. And you have a chance to win things all in. And most importantly, I'm going to send you the tickets. So, If you decide you don't want to go to the show, hey, you don't got to go to the show. You decide you want to sell them for more money, your tickets. Don't give a crap what you do with them. It's your business what you do with it. So you may be able to take the free tickets, flip them, and make some money. That is your business. I would prefer you come to the show, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there you go.
There you go. So be sure to take part in that. Once again, the link for that will be in the description of this podcast, correct, Floyd?
Yes, the description
and
of
then
that podcast.
We'll be and then we'll share it around too, I'm sure,
on all the social medias. If you don't see it, I have failed you. I've failed your city, but I hope everyone gets to see it. I'm like, I want a stupid number. I want an uncomfortable number of people supporting where I'm like, Austin, man, can we call Sydney? I'm like, dude, I need help counting all this. I need help counting all these people. No, just kidding. Google Forms does a great job of actually keeping the records for you. So that's what it is. It's a Google Form. So there you go.
There you go. Right. So be sure to take part in that. Now we can go ahead and get into the show. We'll start off with World's End. First off, I wanted to say, from an overall standpoint, it was a strong show to close out 2024 for AEW. I felt like it was pretty steady, but yes. I felt like had some, like, a couple matches were absolute bangers.
Uh-huh.
As a show overall, solid end. Wasn't insanely good, wasn't bad, it was solid, and... I think it had some things that people, if you haven't seen it yet, you need to. But, like, there's some must-watch matches in that show. But overall, just a solid end of the year, I felt like. They at least sucked the landing, I think, for the most part.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Only thing is, I had a problem caring about the main event. Just because I knew who was going to win, and then
what I've been saying.
But after the main event, they fixed it.
they fixed it for you.
they fixed it so hard. Like, I was so excited after the main event that I couldn't sleep. I literally could not sleep. I had taken a gummy. I had taken a Benadryl, and I'm sitting there just like, I am just pumped up. And I'm like refreshing shop AEW, like give me my shit, give me my crack. I'm like a heroin addict, and like click 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 refresh. And then so I finally relax. Someone I hear beep on my phone. Someone's like, it's up. Yep, had to buy it.
Yep, there you go. So do you want to go through this like real quickly, match by match? I know we have to do this and Fight for the Fallen.
I don't have honestly, there's only a couple matches I have more than a few thoughts on.
Correct. Yeah. I was going to say, like I said, it was a couple matches carried the show dramatically while the rest were solid to okay, I think. Obviously the first thing we have to mention is the opening match of the show, Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. He just keeps doing it, dude. He just keeps on fucking doing it. And We talked about how good their first match was, and then again, just Fletcher continuing to be a... He's going to be having a massive year this year, I think. 2025 yeah. could be Fletcher breaking out and just doing insane shit yeah. in AEW, and Ospreay just being able to get the upper hand at the end, even though he took a fucking beating in this match. I just cannot get over it. That was one of the first legit Crimson masks I've seen in a very long time. Like, dude was gushing and blood going into his eyes. Like, it was so severe. I absolutely loved it. I thought they just did an insane amount of work. And it just set up so much storyline for the finals for the Continental Classic 2 with just how much these two were laying into each other, and Ospreay taking the massive beating but still being able to get the Styles Clash on to get the pin on Fletcher to get the win, and he was just beside himself afterwards. Dude, I mean, like, these two guys, unreal, and it continues to blow me away of the shit that they can do. It also blows me away, too, because I feel like with this match and the final for the Continental Classic, I feel like both of them also left a lot on the table where, like, if you let them go even longer, oh my God.
So the crazy thing is, when I'm thinking about this match was amazing. I honestly don't think it was as good as their first match, even though it was excellent.
No. First match definitely was still better, yeah, for sure.
Even though it was an excellent match, because, you know, Continental Classic, no outside interference, blah, 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 blah. This was a great match. It told a great story, and it actually told a story that led into the next match with right. you know, with the Ospreay being bled. But I listened to a video, and I'm not going to say who, because I'm not saying the most positive thing, and they're like, oh man, match wrestler of the year in AEW this year is close. And I'm like, what?
No, it ain't.
No. And again, I don't speak in that. I try my best. Even then, with saying this, I try my best not to speak in absolutes. I just don't. I try, because I understand no matter what you like, there's someone out there that hates it. So I'm like, Will Ospreay's the no-brainer, top pick, best wrestler in the world. That's what AEW is. We're the best wrestler. And when it comes to the best, he's the best of the best. So he's clearly number one. And then I heard some people thought it was close. They're like, oh, Will Ospreay, Swerve was a name on it. Bryan Danielson, which would not be on my list because he didn't wrestle a lot of the year. You know what right. I mean? So he wouldn't have been on my list. But, you know, Jon Moxley, of course, because I'm like, eh. I don't know. I feel like if you're going to do a one, it's clearly Will Ospreay. If you want to talk about two, yeah, Swerve's right there. Because he was solid all year. But to me, when you get down to three and four, you're talking about Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita. Because look at what they've done this year. But again, mm-hmm. you know, Moxley wouldn't have been even in my list. I don't know. But, you know, so. But me and seeing this, you're seeing these two guys. You're seeing Will Ospreay. And then you're seeing the future Kyle Fletcher. And I feel a lot about Will Ospreay the same way I feel like Darby Allin. Will Ospreay, I think, is 30 right now. I don't think Will Ospreay is having a Jeff Jarrett-type career.
No.
I think he's done by 40. Just because...
There's a good chance, honestly.
And I'm not talking about injury. I'm just like the physical... The things he does and sacrifices, the stuff he does for his body for, you know, to perform, it just seems like it's a lot harder than what everybody else does. You know, mm-hmm. it seems like it caught up with Kenny Omega. You know what I mean? And it's just like, they do a lot. So I don't know. So Will Ospreay, I'm taking it just like I do with Darby. I'm going to enjoy every match, every moment. I'm not going to take any of that shit for granted. You're never going to hear me say, oh, that's just another great Will Ospreay match. Because this dude has given us this run that it might not be topped. You know what I mean?
Genuinely.
But yeah, so then you see Kyle Fletcher and you're like, okay, when Will Ospreay is ready to give up the mantle, it might go to Fletcher. But the problem is, Fletcher might take the fucking mantle before Will Ospreay's ready to give it up.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, because this man's exceptional. So, I really enjoyed this match. Very physical, very bloody. They know, think about Will Ospreay. Think about Kyle Fletcher. their matches are personal. They had three matches this year, right? The first one was amazing, right? But it was mentor versus mentee. They were still kind of friends. These two matches where they hate each other felt like they hate each other. It felt like a fight. At no point was it a performance. No, they hated each other. And I think a lot of times when we get feuds, especially in AEW, sometimes it doesn't reach that point. I mean, yeah. Swerve and Hangman, of course, they do what they do. But there's some times where it just doesn't feel as personal as it needs to be. And this feud has felt personal. They fucking hate each other. And it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, again, these are two guys. You can put them together like whenever you want. And when they lock up, it's going to be incredible stuff every single time. And like I said, you treasure everything that you get with Will Ospreay at this point, because again, like we saw what happened with Kenny and how like he started slowing down. You do not want to be around when Will Ospreay decides to call it like a career. Obviously you want to be able to be riding along the whole way with him, because dude is insane. Absolutely incredible.
I know people have been on him for a while. It took me a while to catch up, but now that I've caught up, dude, I put out a post and it got a few likes. I'm like, I don't know if he's the greatest ever, but I ain't seen anybody better. He makes me feel like I did when I used to watch Shawn Michaels when I was younger. And I honestly thought that was a lost feeling.
Yeah, I get it. I truly get it. The next match between Okada and Ricochet was solid. I thought it was a good follow-up, and obviously makes sense for both of them to go back-to-back since they both had to wrestle later in the night. The only thing I wanted to mention, too, because like I said, the match was good, and it made sense, obviously, and Ricochet did a damn good job in the match. The heel turn on him has been lovely to watch. Only thing I have to ask about, too, was when Swerve came out afterwards. And he obviously was like, hey, congrats, you made it just as far as I did last year, but I thought you said you were going to win it, right? And I said I was going to embarrass you if you blew it. That's when Nana comes out with the toilet paper in a little cart, and he hands it out to everyone in the front row and counts it down for them to throw the toilet paper at Ricochet, who's standing motionless in the middle of the ring. Brother, just move. Just leave the ring. Get out of reach of the toilet paper. Why'd you stand there and take it?
Because, you know, let me tell you. He wanted to see what he did because he knew he was going to get him back. And it was embarrassing.
I was going to say, he definitely, like, it's got to be, like, literally, like, it's like, oh, give me this for fuel, please. Please give this to me as fuel for me to just absolutely murder you. Because otherwise, why are you standing there and taking it?
Yeah. So, I thought this took a little while to get done, but I did want to give shout out to Ricochet on that fucking Rainmaker sale.
Oh, dude.
He took it like his life left his body.
Yes.
like there was nothing left, and it was amazing. And it's so great, because if they ever do it again and he kicks out, oh, it's going to make... Because he took it so well, I was like, the match is over, you know? And honestly, even in New Japan, one Rainmaker usually doesn't beat people.
Normally sells it, yeah.
Yes, no. He hit him... He went so hard with it. I was like, is he hurt? No, it was an excellent sell by Ricochet. I wanted to give him the shout-out.
Yeah, match was solid again. Really, match, really solid. And a good follow-up.
Match would have probably been the match of the night in like 60% of shows that it's on.
Pretty much, honest to God.
But tonight AEW does what they do on pay-per-views. That's what happened.
Truly, it's truly all we can say. The Tijuana street fight, I thought was solid. I thought it was pretty solid.
It existed, but again, it was hurt by knowing there was no way in God Green Earth Thunder Rosa was winning.
I did love the Mariah May grabbing the cane from Thunder Rosa's dad and then going like in front of him. That shit killed me.
Yes. I love Mean Girl Mariah.
She's such
a perfect mean girl.
Oh my God, dude. It's absolutely amazing. But other than that, yes, like Floyd said, we knew in no goddamn way in hell was she losing that match. So, you know, it means a lot, guys.
I was going to say, and I run that, and that's where AEW runs short. Because I can tell you, during Roman's run, there were matches that he had where we knew he wasn't losing. But they did such a good job on the story that you're like, okay, Sammy's going to beat him in Montreal. That's what's going to happen. Drew's going to beat him at Clash in the Castle. And they sold you on it. Even though in your back of your head, you knew there was no way Roman was losing, but they sold you on it just enough to where you had to pay attention. And I thought they fell flat on the Mariah May Thunder Rosa build, even though I did enjoy the match.
Yeah. The thumbtacks being put in the pinata, though, was a nice touch. Yes. I did like that.
That was awesome.
Yep. Adam Cole versus MJF was a good match, but unfortunately falls short just because the feud did not have the same heat, I feel like. And also, I was convinced that the Undisputed Kingdom was turning on Adam Cole. Did not happen, actually. I was pretty surprised that
Only did it not happen, fucking Matt Taven addressed it in the back interview afterwards. Like, you thought we were going to turn on our friend? This is forever. This is 15 years. I fucking love that. I'm like, dude, that is wrestling now, right? If you're wrestling and you're not, I'm not saying be on social media interacting with the fans. That's dumb. Don't do that. I'm saying if you're not at least using it to see what people are thinking, to help navigate your character and your promos and all that stuff, you're not using a tool that you have at your exposure. Like,
it's modern wrestling at this point. Dude.
Yes, and Matt Taven saying, y'all thought we were going to change it. It's like, it popped me because that's all we saw. Like, my friend came up to me. It's like, I think Undisputed. I'm like, everyone thinks that. Everyone thinks Undisputed is going to turn on. And it didn't happen. And I got to say about the match, I have to give respect to Adam Cole and MJF because they took a match that I gave zero fucks about and at least made it entertaining to where I cared by the end.
Like I said, they did a damn good match.
To say my enjoyment of the match was average when I expected it to be zero, that's an improvement.
Dude, the backbreaker onto I think MJF did like a backbreaker and he powerbomb backbreaker onto Cole's back on his knee. Mm-hmm. Like that shit looked fire.
Yes. And let me tell you, Adam Cole is still in there. I'm telling y'all. I know everyone thinks he's lost it. But honestly, if you've paid attention to any major sport ever. When you have something done to you like that, like literally this dude has dead bone in his ankle, you got to give him a minute. You really, really do. And that's just not me standing up for Adam Cole. It's me treating him like he's a human. I'm just like, like if somebody's hurt, like a major injury that kept him all the better part of a year and a half or whatever, like hurt. And they come back and they tell you everything they had to do to come back. You're like, yeah, you're not going to be NXT main event Adam Cole right out the gate. Give you a minute. And he might have to find a different way to tell stories. But I actually thought he did really good in that match. Not great, but really good.
It was really good. No, I mean, like I said, it was a good match. Just like, again, it just didn't have the heat that it did prior, obviously.
I mean, you know, of course. And they made the decision to just finish it. And by the end of the night, it felt finished.
Yeah. We then had your boy Kinosuke Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs go at it. Meat Man, who absolutely, the meat chant is his now. Hobbs has the meat chant forever and always.
He does. It is all about him.
Yes. They did a good job. Another match that we knew, like, the outcome, obviously, but holy shit, the crowd got into this match way more, and, like, I put that fully on Takeshita and Hobbs and just the work they were able to put into it, too. Like, it was really, really strong. That being said, for me, please let me say this. Can the Blue Thunder Bomb beat somebody? We got a one-count kick out for the Blue Thunder Bomb.
Dude.
Can that move beat somebody?
Dude,
I'm begging you. I love that move so much. I've loved it since I've been watching Sami Zayn and El Generico and all that kind of stuff. I love that move. Can it beat somebody?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'd love to be like, no. But, you know, with the Will Ospreay match, you saw him hit the Styles Clash and win with the Styles Clash. It's gonna work. You know, it's gonna work. It can work officially to get people over. I've seen him winning with it, Konosuke win with it on Rampage. R.I.P. Rampage. But
R.I.P.
But I think they're gonna have to do. I think they're gonna have to do it. They're gonna have to do like the Styles Clash and have it win in a big match, because when you do that, it's gonna help with getting that pop or getting that false finish whenever you do it in another match.
Yeah, seriously. But other than that, match was a lot of fun. I thought this was a very, very underrated match on the show.
Yes, I thought this was one of Powerhouse Hobbs' best singles matches, if not best. And I love what they ended up doing with him on Dynamite. But I think Will Hobbs is one of those people. Like, when it comes to wrestling, you have the people like Will Ospreay, people like Kyle Fletcher, all that stuff. Any style, anywhere, they can work it. Will Hobbs, and I'm not saying this is limited, he's big and he's bulky, and you have to work around him and make the story. I thought the story in the match with Tecoste going after the ankle, taking away his power base away from him, was brilliantly done, and I thought that was like one of the best uses of Will Hobbs in a singles match.
I can agree with that, yeah. I think the way they used the match psychology of it was really, really,
and I'm hoping this is leading to Tony Khan realizing that he's just not a standard big guy. He's Will Hobbs, and
yes,
and use him. I have heard from two different podcasts that I've happened to listen to that like, why doesn't AEW like big guys? And yeah, I want to ask that question too. Why do they hate big guys? Because I love big meaty men slapping meat. So the fact that they don't use their big man effectively enough, and I thought this was a very good use of Will Hobbs. I agree. Big Hobbs fan, I was very much happy with this match.
Yeah, for sure. We have to talk about the TBS Championship match between the CEO Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander.
It's funny. I came away thinking this was my women's match of the year.
Genuinely. I mean, like, dude, Statlander is so over. She is so over, and the crowd cares about her, and it's really awesome to see. And Mercedes is in her element now, and she finally feels like Mercedes Moné, and she feels like what we've been, like, these last few matches, dude, has been exactly what I've been hoping for, I feel like. Like, since Double or Nothing, I think, is where she started to really turn a corner. And then the camera work, too. I love the shot of Mercedes against the rope smiling as she feels like she's going to get the count-out win. And then Chris slides in right next to her, like, and she's like out of frame, then slides in like to break the count. Great shot. Like, one of my favorite camera shots of the show. And then, like, it has to be said, this is the first AEW women's match to exceed 20 minutes of length. This is now the longest AEW women's match of all time. 24 minutes, 35 seconds. Mercedes has the two longest women's matches of AEW, because her and Willow was second before this. But this is the first match that has exceeded 20 minutes for women's wrestling in AEW.
Yeah, and you know what? I am, as the women's division in AEW is as loaded as it's ever been right now, because right now, when you look at it with Mercedes and Chris, first of all, Chris Statlander, switch your finisher to your F5, because I think her F5 was just so pretty.
I thought it was really, really good.
I thought her F5 was good, and I was like, that should end the match right there. So maybe do that, but I was like dead set on it had to be Willow to beat Mercedes. I could see it being Chris now. I could see them calling up Athena and it being Athena. And I think they could all put on good matches. Anna Jay is gradually getting better. You always have Serena Deeb that can put on a solid match any time you want. You always got Hikaru Shida that can put on a solid match any time you want. You work with Mina Shirakawa. You can do stuff with her. It's like, this is probably the best the women's division ever been. I would like to see Nyla Rose a little bit more. The reason being is she works that the big woman powerhouse style. And if you keep her getting wins, that builds up for Chris Statlander. That builds up for Willow. When they might not be in the main event picture, that gives them somebody that can work with.
And so, she's entertaining.
Yeah, she's very entertaining. So that's, I was about to say, she's very entertaining. So it's just like, you have someone in the mix. Because I always say, when it comes to a division, when you know you've built a division, you can build up feuds outside of the title picture, right?
Right.
And it's just like, right now, they're doing a pretty, you know, they could do a better job of it because you have the talent right now. And it looks like they're all healthy. I don't know Nyla's injury thing, but I don't think she's hurt because she's pretty open on social media. So I feel like she would have said something. So I was just like, yeah. So again, there's only a certain amount of TV time. Everybody can't be on TV. But like you did with Will Hobbs tonight, which we'll talk about later, it doesn't take long to keep someone relevant.
Right. No, exactly.
Yes.
But it just feels like this is where the women's division, like I've especially been screaming about it a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
this is, even though like I said, we had a previous, the previous pay-per-view only had one women's match on the show, or like the previous, Dynamite or whatever. Like, this is still the best the women's division has been in the entire company's history.
And I still think Mercedes needs a heater. And
she does.
I think it should have been, it could be Nyla. And yeah. I don't think she should do the main thing. I think that's overdone. We've already seen it with MJF and Wardlow. I think it should be like a partnership.
Right.
Where pretty much, you know, like whoever it is knows their place with Mercedes. And it's more of a group effort. And then, oh, I'm just going to be really, really mean to you. Because like I said, it's fine, but you do, like, you're waiting on the turn. And let's say like...
Correct. When you know there's supposed to be a turn coming, like that's just what you're waiting for at that point.
So if you show everything as great for like a year, then no one's waiting on the turn.
Yes.
There you go.
Exactly. I will also say, too, when she did the Three Amigos and then started continuing to do the suplexes and the crowd got to their feet, that was a lovely moment.
Dude.
And that tombstone on the apron scared the shit out of me.
Dude. And that match, again, I don't go back and watch a lot of wrestling. My reason, excuse, whatever you want to use, is that there's just too much wrestling. By the time I get there, I'm waiting on the next show, so I don't really have time to go back and watch old wrestling. That is a match I would watch again right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Then immediately follow that up with Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay in AEW.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it goes in the mountain of matches of the year.
It does. Even though I will say straight up, they stay still, I know for a fact, left a lot on the table for this match specifically. Like, this match you're going to see again, and they're going to let it go 30 minutes.
Yes.
And when they do, it's going to blow it out of the water. And that's still even going past, like, the closing moments of this match was unbelievable. Like, Ospreay took a beating, and again, the whole added element of him being bloodied still from what happened after Kyle Fletcher just beat the shit out of him, and then him talking before the show, like after his match in the early part of the show, like, guys, I'm going to need you to help will me through this thing right now. Like, I'm going to need your support more than anything. That felt like old school wrestling, of just being like, you know, calling for the fans, I need your support. Help me get through this, because I'm not at 100%, obviously.
Yes, and I mean, he cuts that promo, and like, how's this guy not your world champion?
Dude!
I mean, like, I know, I am definitely not a person that's like, oh, you bring somebody in and make them the world champion. But there is not a wrestler in the company, Darby Allin included, that embodies the spirit of what AEW is more than Will Ospreay.
I will agree with that. Like,
Darby's a little bit more like personal for me, but I get like Ospreay, dude. I mean, this guy is AEW.
He embodies what AEW is as a company, you know, and it's just like, yeah. And even in this match, I came out of this match. Okada won. He hit the Rainmaker, put him down. I came out like, oh God, Will Ospreay's the fucking greatest wrestler ever. And he lost. He lost. That's how you know how good he is. He lost. And I came out like, God damn, Will Ospreay's good. Now, take nothing away. Kazuchi Okada, one of the best I've ever seen. Again, this is one half of the men that literally changed how I watch wrestling. Okada versus Omega 1, I told him, was a wrestling religious experience for me.
And how would you feel if the man that created a religious, the two men that created a religious experience for you watching wrestling, proceeded to then face off immediately after this match?
Yes. Dude. Like, I don't get goosebumps. It's an actual chemical. I'm not The Rock. I can't be like pointing at my goosebumps every time. But when you talk about emotional goosebumps, absolutely had it when Kenny Omega's music hit.
Dude, I mean, Kenny Omega returns, makes his return, faces off with Kazuchika Okada, and you see the all-in Texas being placed just so center of those two in the camera shot.
Dude, if people talk about AEW's production and they miss stuff, but oh my God, that was the playbook. That was the playbook. It was just up there.
And then Okada glances at it.
Subtle, but not subtle at all. It's like, it was subtle, but it was like to people that watch the show and you see the framing and it's like, fuck yes, that's what we're getting. And all I could say is, all I could think is, dude, like, okay, I got a wrestling.
Thank God you bought your tickets when you did.
I got a wrestling erection, okay? Because I'm like, I'm going to be in first row for Kazuchi Okada and Kenny Omega.
Yep. Dude,
I'm good.
I'm gonna be in attendance, dude. Dude. You just came in and you just made my year, and you don't even know what you did.
Yes, I was like, we're going, you know. And it's just like that's how I see it. I truly think. I mean, it's like one of those things. It's not till July, so you can't like announce it now. But I feel like if you announced it now, tickets would start flying.
Genuine. Yeah. So, yeah. And then lastly, obviously, the main event, the four-way for the world title, Moxley, Jay White, Orange Cassidy, Hangman Page. Solid.
Yes.
It was solid. It was a good main event, and it was a good four-man match. The spot of the Blade Runner being hit on Marina Shafir, fucking amazing.
Everybody couldn't wait for it to happen. It was amazing. I was so happy about that.
Yes. Match itself, though, was solid. I'm not going to say it was bad. I'm not going to say it was great. It was solid.
Dude, we were all there. It's one of those situations. It could have been the greatest match. We were all just waiting on the ending.
Dude.
We knew what was coming.
Exhausted by the best female match in AEW's recent memory. And then Okada Ospreay, and then the tease of Okada Omega, and then you got to get into this. Like, how, in what situation did this have any chance to keep the crowd engaged other than when Marina Shafir got Blade Runned?
Yeah, no way. No other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was fine. It was solid. Then afterwards, though, FTR comes out to stop the Death Riders from attacking everyone, and then they stand up on the ramp. And then rated FTR on top of the apron on the screen. You think you know me. And then cue up Metalingus. Adam Copeland is back and he is teamed up with Dax and Cash. And we have rated FTR.
Dude, automatically my favorite faction already. say what you want. This is the, these are my guys. The Asheville three, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So it's funny because they announced that Adam Copeland would just be going about Cope. And of course people went crazy. And then I'm like, okay, one guy's name is Dax. One guy's name is Cash. Both one syllable nicknames. So he went by Coke to go with the name scheme. That's it. Have you never heard of a nickname? I'm sorry. Like, people take everything, like, too far. It's so weird to me. But when they came out, and my friends were like, why would they do this now? It's like, they're trying to make sure they sell out Asheville, North Carolina, so they needed a match. So, mm-hmm. And then they came out, and now they get a match. It's going, it was going down in Asheville, North Carolina. And yeah, in Adam Copeland, literally, when you see Adam Copeland, if that doesn't make you want to start doing crunches and planks, I don't. The dude's 50, and his abs look better than anybody's in the company except, like, maybe Pac or Jay White.
Right. Dude, I mean.
Like, this dude's aging in reverse. He looks better now than he did in his prime.
Crazy. Literally crazy.
Dude is, like, jacked to the gills.
And he is. No, yeah, absolutely.
51 years old. And he looks better crazy than he did when he was 30. Look up pictures when he's 30. Look at his abs.
I know. But that was World's End. And we'll transition now into Fight for the Fallen, the first Dynamite of 2025, the first Dynamite on the simulcast for Max and TBS from Asheville, North Carolina. First thing I will say, production-wise, I think the show got a step up. It felt bigger. It felt like they were doing a lot more in terms of just making sure they showcased the matches and everything that they had to their disposal in terms of just camera work. It felt like everything felt big. It felt like importance of everything, the way they were shooting it. I don't know. Maybe that was just something that I noticed. It felt like, you know, there was a real importance to the show and the people wrestling and the way they were showcasing.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was great. I watched my show on Max and on YouTube TV because I wanted to see the difference. And, you know, it wasn't a lot. HBO Max, which went without a hit, can't. But you saw the camera angles. You saw different things in it. You could tell that production had stepped up, and I'm not a person that generally notices that kind of shit, so when I say it, I'm not just saying it.
Right. I'm anal about that stuff because I work in television. So
no, when I say I don't, yeah, like, I don't even notice it half the time. I don't. But it was I could tell that they had put a lot of effort in making everything look better.
Yeah. The show opened up with Hangman Page versus Orange Cassidy.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
These guys who had a shot at the world title, neither of them were able to come out with it, and surprisingly enough, like, was this like a first? I can't remember too. Like, this was a these guys had worked together before, I feel like, but they had not had a singles match though beforehand. Like, they knew each other really well, but singles wise I don't think they had a singles match up until this point on AEW.
This is the TK, or if anyone from AEW listens to this show, I need this. And I'm going to keep begging for it until it eventually happens. How this show should have started. HBO Max generation. Hangman, Orange Cassidy, already in the ring. The show comes up, ding, and they just start fighting each other.
Yeah, I get that.
The reason I say it is, like, to me, for, like, tonight was probably your biggest chance at a new audience, right?
Uh-huh.
With HBO Max. I want you to announce what AEW is with authority. And what AEW is above anything else is a pro wrestling show about people pro wrestling. So I wanted the first thing that anybody that watches AEW to see is two guys putting on a great pro wrestling match, which I actually thought the match was really good. But it was just like you had all that stuff before it, and I honestly can say it feels WWE-esque because WWE invented it. You know what I mean? You're not going to ever be able to do anything against wrestling in wrestling and not be compared to WWE. But you know what WWE doesn't do? They don't start the Rey show with two people in the ring just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I get that, and I think that makes a whole lot of sense. The other thing, too, and I'll complain about it if it remains this way, it was a nice little surprise when I'm So Excited was the theme for the show, the music theme. It was a fun little surprise because, you know, Tony Khan loves licensing music, and I love that about him because I appreciate that kind of stuff. This cannot be the new theme.
So according to Sean Rossington Sapp, this is the new
Snappity
theme.
Snappity
Sapp. So, oh, Sean Ross Sapp, my guy. I'll never say anything bad about him because, you know, every time I met him, he's nice to me. I'm like,
man. Yeah.
I don't get caught up in, like, hating wrestling media. That's never going to be who I am. But, you know, he's always been a nice guy to me, so I'm always going to be like,
right,
you're a cool dude. But, yeah, according to him, this is the new theme. Would it be my personal choice for a new theme? No, because you're doing a show in 2024 and mm-hmm. you're trying to grab new audiences and you're picking a song that was out before anybody before what 40 was born. That show.
Well, and I also have to ask you because
I'm So Excited came out before I was born.
Yeah. I have to ask you because I mean, like, listen, at the end of the day, dude, like, if wrestling has told us anything, what is the major music choice for wrestling fans? It's rock music. It has been, it will always be, and it will be for the forever of time. Obviously, WWE switched more into hip-hop for the more modern audiences. I get it, and I'm okay with it because I'm a hip-hop guy. But wrestling is rock. When people talk about the music that they love in pro wrestling, they always throw back to, like, the music from SmackDown versus Raw, which was normally filled with like Breaking Benjamin and Skillet and fucking Seether and all these fucking bands. And hell, for World's End, you had Welcome to the Jungle as the music that was playing leading into the show.
Yes.
Like, this is the music that this show, like, and I will say this firmly, like, I was okay with it with Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, but that's just because I'm an Elton John guy. For most other wrestling fans, that song didn't fit for Collision. It just didn't. Yeah. But rock music should be the full-on thing for pro wrestling, especially since, like, you know, we're the alternative to WWE. They're doing more hip-hop. Should have the rock music that a lot of wrestling fans crave when it comes to, like, pay-per-view themes and songs, intros, and stuff like that. Like, when I started watching WWE, like, the theme for Monday Night Raw was To Be Loved by Papa Roach.
Yes.
That's pro wrestling themes to me, that type of music. So it's cute, but I don't know, man. I don't agree with that being the theme personally. I saw someone tweet out, and it was just one suggestion. Obviously, there's many different songs you could go with, but a modern song they used as they put over top the new intro video for Dynamite was The Emptiness Machine by Linkin Park. That sounded really cool, personally, and I like that album, and I like the new Linkin Park with the new lead singer and everything like that, so I wouldn't be against that, just in that realm, rock, that kind of style, like, you know what I mean? And you can go old school music, like, in that regard, too, because, I mean, there's plenty of old school rock you can pull through. You literally did it with Welcome to the Jungle. I don't agree with that, like, yeah. Personally.
I'm So Excited, September 1982, I was one.
I was not born.
Exactly. And they're trying to draw people your age, not people my age.
Right.
I mean, I know people, a person watching is a person watching, but you want to get the 18 to 34. I'm no longer in the demographic. You know what I mean? I understood mm-hmm. that. So, you know, when I say this music is old to me, shit, it's fucking classical music. So that's what I'm like. This is vintage. So I know it does. All I can say is the one thing I just said is AEW should be different than WWE. I'm pointing to sisters. I'm so excited. Very fucking different from WWE.
It is. No, I'll give you that. It is very different. I will say, though, like I said, I'm dwelling on this too much.
I thought it was just a one-show thing. And then,
like, yeah, so did I.
And then I was like, oh, so they're going to do this every week. Cool. I don't have a lot of thoughts on it, but I would go.
I'm a music guy, so I'm a little bit more anal.
Yeah, I would probably go with something more upbeat and, you know, more relevant to the audience that you're trying to bring in.
Right, correct. Exactly. But going back to Hangman versus Orange Cassidy, good opening match. I thought these guys did a really, really good job. I loved the great fallaway slam onto the floor from Hangman onto Orange Cassidy. I thought that was vicious. That being said, maybe this was only me, these two guys just lost the world championship the night before, like two nights before, or a few nights before, sorry. I felt like there should have been more anger. Like, Hangman should have been, like there should have been a point in the match from the four-way where, like, Orange Cassidy, like, full-on, like, broke up a pin or something like that, and then Hangman really got pissed off about it. Like, this was mine, you took it away from me. And Orange should have been mad, too, I felt like, because he's giving a shit now. So now that he's giving a shit, he should be extra pissed because he could have stopped Moxley right then and there. But Hangman wanted to be a bitch. I felt like I didn't feel the full anger between these two. Hangman's always at an 11, obviously, I feel like, just with him. But I don't know. Maybe there should have just been more, like, I don't know. I felt like there could have been more hatred in this, for personally. Maybe that's just me. And from watching it, though, it was good. And it was a good opening, though. I like after the match when Orange got pinned, he kept beating up on Orange. I thought that was good. But, like, I don't know. Maybe that was just me. I felt like Orange could have given a little bit more of, like, anger towards Hangman.
More anger. I thought it was a good match. And this is going to be, you know, the geek, whatever. Again, this is kind of a lot of people's introduction to AEW. I wouldn't say a lot, but hopefully it's introducing a lot of people to AEW. I would have liked it to be more exciting. I thought it was kind of good. It was a good match, you know what I mean? But I felt like it was just another match, you know what I mean? So, you know, this is like one of those matches back in the day you would have put like Ray Phoenix and Pentagon out there in the first match and just say go. So, you know, with them, told a good story. The match is in it. I know it feels like they're building something with Orange Cassidy. Like, he might go down in the dumps or whatever. And they're trying to do, of course, with what happened after the match, they're trying to do something with Hangman. But it's like, if somebody was like, hey, give me an introduction match to AEW, I don't know if those two would have been in my introduction match to AEW.
I get why they did, but for me personally, I agree with you. It wouldn't be my introduction match.
Yeah.
But afterwards, like I said, Hangman got the win, then beat up Orange Cassidy, two straight dead eyes, then CD came in, and then that's when CD got knocked down by Hangman, who continues to just beat up on AEW officials, and just, like, you know, he's a man who cannot be controlled. But yeah, so again, really,
CD is no longer EVP, so
he's not an EVP too. So yeah, he's still an AEW official, but I guess he's just like, you know what, you said straight up you're not an EVP anymore, so I'm just gonna kick the shit out of you.
Yep,
you ain't gonna do nothing. We then moved into the Acclaim taking on the Hurt Syndicate, Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. And this match, it did what it did. Obviously,
it was a story match.
It was a story match. Yeah, once again, continuing to have Max Caster just being the absolute full-on detriment to the Acclaimed. There was no Billy Gunn here either, because he's just not showing up anymore because of how Max has been acting. And he said in the social media exclusive, he's like, I'd punch you in the face if it wasn't for the fact that Billy Gunn asked me not to.
Yes. So, yeah, I think they need to fight, though.
We're getting there.
And the Hurt Business, hurting people, looked amazing. They did their thing.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
We then had Julia Hart versus Jamie Hayter. I still love Julia's presentation, like, so much. It was okay, but there's still definitely some ring rust, I feel like, at this point, but thought it was okay.
No, and that's where I was going to go with it. Again, I really try to treat wrestlers like they're human. Yeah. yes, she was gone for a while. She came back. Yeah, she was a little slow in some spots, but she'll get there. It'll be fine.
Yeah. It's going to be fine, yeah. This was just one match. I think you're going to get to the point where this really kicks in for the most part. But, yeah, a little bit of ring rust, but other than that, yeah, it should be fine. We then move into the three-way match after Okada gave a little message to, obviously, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. Just basically, like, you know, how many times do I have to beat you guys? I'm the best tournament wrestler alive. Mercedes Moné had an in-ring segment, too, where she talked about how she's the greatest TBS champion to ever exist, and then just called out Mina Shirakawa, who she'll be wrestling at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Dynasty, and she's coming for that Rev Pro Women's Championship, so she wants to hold three belts now. Obviously trying to get that as a, you know, Mina's trying to go after the New Japan Strong Women's Championship in that match.
Let me tell you, I don't understand this segment.
Mm-hmm.
At all. This was a channel killer.
Yeah.
Because it didn't build towards really anything. There was no heat.
It mentioned the Wrestle Dynasty match against Mina, but that was it.
Yeah. And Mercedes, this is not where she excels. She's amazing. She's an amazing professional wrestler. But just putting her in the ring, in the middle of the ring with a mic, is not where she excels. This is like, to me, it is like asking Shaq to shoot three-pointers.
Mm.
This is not what she does. I felt like the whole world was waiting on somebody to come out and make it interesting, right?
Right, and people would wait for Mina to come out or whatever.
Yeah, and she's literally in a four-way this Sunday on an AEW New Japan produced show. Why not have Athena and Willow come out and talk shit? Yeah. Or do a video message or something. It just fell flat. This was one of the segments. There was two segments I had a problem with. This was one because I just felt like I'm tapping out if I'm watching this at home most of the time. I know she has her hardcore fans that will probably say this is the greatest promo segment in wrestling history. But me, I was literally just bored and I started playing Monopoly Go. She didn't say anything.
No, like I said, that was the biggest thing that we were living. But like, she didn't even really say anything about Mina other than the Rev Pro Championship and all that kind of stuff. She didn't say anything about Mina herself.
She didn't make me like her. She didn't make me hate her. She didn't make me feel anything. It was just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if that was supposed to draw heat, it didn't. If that was supposed to make people love her, it didn't do that either. That's my problem. Is it made me feel no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean,
other than I'm gonna play Monopoly Go now.
Yeah, so moving forward though from that, we had the three-way match between Swerve Strickland, Roderick Strong, and Switchblade Jay White, with the winner getting the number one spot in the Casino Gauntlet match. Going into this match, I thought this was the best match of the show. Honestly, I thought This to me was the best match of the show, just because these three guys are all insane singles wrestlers, and then you just basically threw them together to beat the living shit out of each other.
When he threw, I think he threw Roddy on top of Jay White on the outside, or it was I thought that was so fucking cool. This to me, of course, match of the night, other than, you know, the other match.
Obviously,
I'm not unbiased. I'm not. At all. I'm not unbiased. So I thought this was just a really fun match. Again, let me tell you, I ain't going to change a thing on the show. Put this match on first.
Yes, this would have been a much faster opening. And it had storyline developments, too.
Yes, and this match is AEW.
Yeah.
It's going to take something that you're used to, and they're going to go a little harder, and it's gonna feel different than any other three-way.
And again, like I said, too, it makes you interested in the story that they're telling, too.
Yeah.
Because first of all, well, one thing I have to say, too, when Jay White did the Nana dance,
yeah,
oh my god,
yes,
oh my god,
he's such a fucking troll, and
he really is. But I mean, Swerve wrestling his ass off, and then all of a sudden, here comes Ricochet with a pair of golden scissors and just stabs him in the fucking head.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, again, and then how he was bleeding, again, this whole match and the build to the match is the introduction to AEW. This is what AEW is. You're going to see athletic people doing athletic feats of strength, putting on a great match, and then you're going to see somebody get stabbed in the fucking head with scissors.
Pretty much.
And bleed everywhere. Harder than you've ever seen anybody bleed for anything. And you know what? And it's going to lead to something. Like, so this was his reaction to the toilet paper thing. This is how you build a feud.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing.
And Ricochet is making people take notice right now.
And they say, oh, I haven't seen Ricochet since he was in the WWE. I wonder what he's up to. Oh, he just stuck and fucking stabbed somebody with scissors in the head. Yeah, that's what just happened.
There you go.
And he took scissor me. He took scissor me a little too literal.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. So yeah, again, really, really good match. I thought everybody had a really good performance in this. But then again, like I said, the way that Swerve just gets busted open with the golden scissors, and then Roddy gets pinned by Jay White, and that's when Ricochet then just kills Swerve Strickland in this, and just beats him down. And that's when the Undisputed Kingdom comes in, and they chase off Ricochet to help out Swerve, which was interesting, honestly, seeing the Undisputed Kingdom show their support for Swerve. That was actually kind of interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
We then, of course, had the tease for what would happen for later in the night with Jeff Jarrett. Mariah May also had a really good promo backstage. I did love I'd love to see you try.
I love this. I mean, with every promo, because I thought it was rough at the beginning of her title reign, her promos.
Yes.
She's getting better.
She's in her element.
And better, and she understands what the character is that she's doing now. And I felt it. And I felt it in this match. I'm like, I felt it in this promo. I thought this was, she's like doing some of her best work now.
She is. She right now is the girl that I feel like is the strongest character and the strongest like talent in AEW. Like, her as women's world champion, you want to see someone knock her off. Like, I feel like it's perfect. It's where it needs to be. We then had Jeff Jarrett, who had an announcement regarding his future. Floor, do you want to go ahead and take? I mean, dude, this guy talked about like full on decades upon decades of wrestling.
Okay.
I don't want to touch on this.
No, let me just say this. This is the other segment I have a problem with.
Go for it.
This was a well done Twitter post. This should have been a Twitter video, and they should have thrown a match in there. I love Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett has been literally wrestling the majority of the time. The Jarrett family has been on TV in the area that I'm in my whole existence. I have nothing bad to say about Jeff Jarrett, the fucking king of the mountain. I love Jeff Jarrett. This was a Twitter video. Okay? Worked out in the ring. They could have did another match. Again. He went down long and talking, and I'm just like, I'm listening. Never picked up my phone. I'm going to listen to Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett gets my respect. Personally, this was a Twitter. This was a tweet. This is a video that goes on Twitter. They share it, and then someone reacts to it. Apparently, this is leading to something. But again,
he wants to become the world champion.
Oh my God! You know what? If this was on cable, and it's dude, I wouldn't have. But I could hear channels, the people hitting their remote to turn the channel. Because again, the audience that you're trying to draw, I don't know how much they care about Jeff Jarrett and his life. And I care. I care. Again, he got my full attention and respect. But I put it in my program. I'm like, this is a Twitter. I've seen more important angles posted on Twitter. I've seen more important angles posted on Twitter, and you're like, why wasn't this on TV? This is the first time I felt the exact opposite. Why wasn't this on Twitter?
I still find, like, you know, I always go back to this, though. It's a joke, obviously, but, like, this man wants to be world champion. He's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre champion. What more does he need?
Dude, and, you know.
What more does he need?
Yes. You know, Texas Main Chainsaw Massacre champion of the world. And, you know, and now, I mean, hey, I'm okay with him going after a world title. I feel like this is a great story. If done correctly, it could really make whoever's a heel, like, even 10 times worse a heel, whenever they do it, or whatever. But, good Lord, I felt like this segment, like, this probably segment was maybe 10 minutes. It felt like 45. I was like, get to the fucking point.
I like Jeff Jarrett. Like I said, I have 100% loads of respect for Jeff Jarrett, a guy who's been breathing and living pro wrestling decades upon decades upon decades. Like I said, most of Floyd's life as a wrestling fan, he's had experience with Jeff Jarrett and his family.
Jeff Jarrett was like my favorite upcoming rookie at one point in my life.
There you go. Like I said, but at the same time, though, like, there is no connection. And again, like, it's unfortunate, but you didn't need to have this be such a huge segment, especially as we were just like slogging along towards the main event. Like, so, dude, I felt like by this point in the show, I was just like, let's go.
All this to announce that he's re-signed the contract and is going after the world title.
Correct.
All that to announce that. It's just like,
if he said,
January 1st, 2027 is my last day in professional wrestling, I'd be like, okay, this is worth the time on TV. If he said, hey, I got a title shot and my career is on the line against Jon Moxley, hey, that'd be worth the TV segment. But you did the whole segment, and the gist of it was, I re-signed a contract and I'm going after the world title. If that's not a tweet.
This will be my last contract, but other than that, yes.
If that's not a tweet, I don't know what the fuck is.
Right. Exactly. So. But again, like I said, after the Mariah May segment, like promo, obviously, which I appreciate. But genuinely, though, like since the fucking three-way match in this show, it slogged, I felt like, to get towards the end.
Yes.
Of, like, so, like, because then we go in, we have a quick little video segment of Hook challenging Christian Cage and said he would face him at Maximum Carnage in 2 weeks, which was cool. Hobbs got a squash match against John Cruz and Rob Killjoy. I'm like, okay, good to see Hobbs. It's a squash match, though. So, like, I don't know why you would have a squash match on a show like Fight for the Fallen. That doesn't make any sense to me, personally. Maybe that's just me. Floyd, I mean, like, why? Like, Fight for the Fallen is supposed to be a special Dynamite. Why do you have a squash match in there?
I think it was to try to get Will Hobbs his heat back from losing Saturday.
So, I guess, but you couldn't have done that next week.
You don't have Rampage anymore.
You don't, yeah, but you have Collision still.
Oh. So, like, honestly, I'd take this thing over what happened with Jeff Jarrett.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to sound like I hated the Jeff Jarrett thing. I just felt like it felt out of place on the show.
I agree. No, I agree. Yeah.
So, with this, it was like, this was 3 minutes. It was over before you could even get bored with it. So,
We then had Big Bill and Brian Keith. They were wondering, Big Bill said Jericho's not coming here for this show. That's when they saw FTR and Adam Copeland. He taunted them. Copeland then issued a challenge for them on Collision, rated FTR taking on the Learning Tree. So that match was announced for Collision. We had a backstage promo of MJF after he beat Adam Cole for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, where he talked about he wanted to go after the world champion. And he wanted to get back to Triple B. He wanted to get the world championship.
Appropriate, yes.
Absolutely. It makes sense why he would, absolutely, yeah. That being said, though, we've got Jeff Jarrett just announced he wants to go after the world title. MJF wants to go after the world title.
Yeah.
Fucking Copeland wants to go after the world title. I'm like, holy shit. Who's going to get the world championship, dude?
Yeah, like, and that's what I said. It felt like a reset. It's just reestablishing all these people that want to go for the world title.
Yeah.
MJF makes sense.
It does.
He beat Jon Moxley for his own world title. So as far as he's considered, the guy that's the champion is the guy he can beat.
Yes.
He has beat him, you know, so. He
said, what's a king to a god, which I love that reference.
Kanye, right?
Yeah, Kanye with No Church in the Wild for Watch the Throne.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a king to a god. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's a god to a non-believer?
don't believe in anything.
yes. No, but
and
no.
His backstage promo was good in this, though, I will say. It was good. Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, and then we finally, though, get to the main event of the show. So, like I said, it was a bit of a slog to get from the three-way match to this.
Yes.
Like, the only thing I will say. So I felt like they lost a lot of steam. But then we get into the Death Riders versus Rated FTR.
The greatest trio in wrestling history.
There you go.
Rated FTR. Fucking all. The Asheville 3, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. This is fun. This is a really, really fun final match of the show. I thought they got a chance to really slug it out, especially Copeland and Mox. I liked how FTR was able to just really zone in on Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. I thought they did some really, really fun stuff there, too. I liked Marina Shafir getting in there, too, and shoving Copeland into the in the steel post. Always love it when they get Marina involved. Eventually, we get to a point where Copeland is on the announcer's table by Moxley. Jay White then comes in, though. And he nails Wheeler Yuta with the Blade Runner. Copeland then drops Moxley on the desk, spears Moxley off the desk through the barricade, and then you have the Shatter Machine on Wheeler Yuta, and then Copeland spears Yuta. Yuta takes the pin. Rated FTR gets the victory, and then Jay White was able to get some revenge on Wheeler Yuta after what happened at World's End. I wonder, too. Does this mean Rated FTR will get a shot at the Trios titles?
Probably going to happen sooner or later. It's funny. It was Bald Wheeler and Legend versus Bald Wheeler and Legend. Somebody was like, hair bald. And I'm like, who are you talking about? Because, you know, Cesaro's bald. You know, Wheeler Yuta has hair. Are they? Yeah, it's like, which hair and bald are you talking about here? No, First of all, Copeland, dude. 51 years old, man. I like the physique on that man. I just like, yeah. I'm like, I got to give him a shout out. That dude puts in the work, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
Of course, Cash and Dax. But, yeah, everybody in this match, I'm like, it's like, oh, the six great wrestlers are going to have a great wrestling match. And that's what they did. And
they did.
And then they hit Wheeler with the Shatter Machine, and I loved it. I want a Wheeler versus Wheeler match. I need it. I know Cash doesn't do a lot of singles matches, but if you want to give me a Cash Wheeler versus Wheeler Yuta match, I'm signing up because Wheeler versus Wheeler, I don't know. I like stuff like that. I'm a dad joke guy. But no, I thought this match was great, and it established Rated FTR. I don't like that they made a match for Collision before this match because I felt like that tells you they were going to win.
Yes.
It is what it is. Again, you know, it's wrestling. You kind of got to let some shit go. So I'll let that go. But I thought it was great. And I loved Edge's promo, Cope's promo, where he said, I saw fear in Moxley's eyes. And I thought Mox did a great job of saying, this is a guy I'm legitimately afraid of. You know, I'm not going to run up on these guys. These are killers. Mox, all he wants, his goal in AEW is he wants a company full of killers. So when he didn't feel like you were a killer, he would go after you because he's trying to bring that out of you. He doesn't have to bring it out of Cope and FTR.
No.
It's there. They're all former champions. It's going to be some good shit. And, you know, I can see a Trios cage match going on. But, you know, whatever they do, I think it's going to be great. FTR has needed to me. Not need it. I don't think they need anything when it comes to wrestling. But
yeah, they just
always
enjoy being able to do shit.
I've always wanted FTR in an established, long-term, hopefully, faction. And I think this is the closest we're going to ever come to do it. And it does something great for Cope. I'm not saying he's ever going to get tired or old because he has never looked his age, ever, as far as in this company.
Right.
But the idea of them three working together and, you know, working trios is going to give you a little bit more of a breather than working a bunch of singles matches. And maybe it'll allow you to be featured more.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I love these three paired together. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
See, I've never wanted an AEW trios title. So I need them they win it, it's like, oh, God, there's another title I got to buy. Oh,
there you go. For real. Well, then maybe we'll actually be able to see the damn belts, because God knows if the Death Riders are holding a championship, you will never see the belts.
Yeah, it's like they say, okay, Tony, we want all the titles, but we're tired of carrying them through security, so you're never going to see them.
But he's willing to carry a dumbass briefcase.
Marina carries the briefcase. That's the
I don't give a damn.
and it's handcuffed to her. It's
unless it gets accidentally handcuffed to the ring ropes at World's End.
Yes, it's just so great. It's like their whole presentation is like, I loved it at the beginning. And like I said, the only thing I've ever wanted was story development, and we haven't got any, really.
No.
And so now they're feuding with Rated FTR, which I'm okay with. But the only thing I've ever wanted from the Death Riders is to move along. And that's the only thing anybody that has a problem with the Death Riders is on it. It's like, can we move along to whatever...
Yeah, what is the purpose?
Like, yeah, what is it?
Please give us some story development.
Like, he cut a promo tonight, and I thought it was good, because I feel like Mox has a purpose now. He's like, oh, I'm going after these people now. But it just felt like a lot of his shit was just repeating the same thing over and over again. So right, I'm glad we might be moving it forward now.
Yeah, I think now we're going to be able to kind of just get it going a little bit. Yeah, so.
Yes.
But this was the first AEW Dynamite simulcast with Max and TBS, and like Floyd said, it really, honest to God, went off without a hitch. Like, it worked out. I feel like it was the first time that we got it.
Yeah, I didn't even see
no issues. Really.
I saw no freezing post on Twitter, and I saw none of that. It seemed to be good, and you know how people love to complain about AEW. So if was any type of mistake, they would have jumped on.
Oh, they would have let you know.
Yes. And, you know, if you listen to the show, just make sure you're doing your part. Tell your friends about it. It's just like, because some people might have tuned out of wrestling, tuned out of AEW. Hey, tell them try this. Maybe it's a cheaper, freer way for them to give it a shot.
There you go. But that was Fight for the Fallen for AEW Collision that's taking place this week. We had a couple matches that were announced. Obviously, you heard the trios match that's going to be happening between Rated FTR versus The Learning Tree. You're also going to be able to see Jeff Jarrett will be in action for the show as well. So you have that to look forward to. And then was there anything else that was announced?
Tag team title match. We have Private Party.
Private Party,
versus Action Andretti and Leo Rush. I'm actually going to hit them up on Twitter tomorrow to see if Action Andretti and Leo Rush can come up with a name, because I really like that tag team. We said Garcia and Briscoe, right?
Garcia and Briscoe will be at facing each other
and
for
then,
the TNT title. That's some matches for Maximum Carnage announced next week.
So the special one, though.
Two weeks from now.
For the first time ever, we have the rookie upstart Tony Storm against Deonna Purrazzo. They do have similar tattoos on their leg, but just know that's just a coincidence.
Yep.
This first time they've ever, it's first time they ever wrestled.
There you go. And then, of course, we had a couple matches announced for Maximum Carnage Dynamite in 2 weeks' time on January 15th in Cincinnati, Ohio. Moxley will be defending the world title, and then Christian Cage will get his one-on-one match against Hook.
Yeah, home game, baby, for Mox. He gets
the
title at home. But I'm mostly excited about the casino gauntlet.
Yeah, the gauntlet battle royal,
And then Kenny Omega returns next week.
Yes, he does, yes. Because, of course, don't forget Wrestle Dynasty, folks. Let's not forget Wrestle Dynasty is a thing, and we have a lot to look forward to with Wrestle Dynasty.
I will probably do another show. I know you're working. But I'll probably do another show Saturday to prepare for Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty and the AEW involvement in it. But it'll be a short show, like 30 minutes.
Boom. Yeah, there you go. And now we're going to just real quickly go over the nominees for the AT Elite Awards before we close things out on the show.
And I'm going to go through this very quickly, so if you don't catch it, the link will be posted in the notes, and then at some point I'm just going to post it on all the social medias, so you will go, but I'm just going through it real quick. So AEW Breakout Star, we got Swerve Strickland, we got the Outrunners, Mariah May, Kyle Fletcher, Hologram, Harley/Harley Graham, and Marina Shafir. because I feel like a lot of people are paying more attention to Marina Shafir. ROH MVP, two belt Dustin Rhodes, the longest reigning champion in professional wrestling right now, Athena. Lee Moriarty is the pure champion. Mark Briscoe was AEW World, ROH champion last year. Chris Jericho, current ROH champion, and ROH Women's Television champion Red Velvet. Best on mic, MJF, which should shock nobody. Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, MVP. Even though he's only been there a few months, he kills it. Kyle Fletcher, Don Callis, Mercedes Moné, and Willow Nightingale. Again, if you don't think somebody should be in there or whatever, just don't vote for him. It's cool. Faction of the Year, Conglomeration, Hurt Syndicate, Don Callis Family, Death Riders, The Elite, and The Patriarchy. Show of the Year, Revolution, Double or Nothing, AEW Dynasty, AEW All In, London, AEW All Out, AEW Wrestle Dream 2024, and AEW Dynamite 248 Bridge Break 2024. The list right there, 3, 4, those are the top 7 cage match rated AEW shows this year. No personal, there was no personal in there. That's just, those were the top rated shows. AEW Dynamite 248 Beach Break, I barely remember, but it was literally one of the top rated shows of the year. Moment of the year, this was all vibes. Sting retirement match, Nigel McGuinness returning it all in London, AEW Dynamite in Cardiff. It was just amazing. Remember the energy of that show. Mm-hmm. Kyle Fletcher turns on Will Ospreay. Death Riders turn on Danielson. Hangman sticks needle in Swerve's mouth. Swerve becomes first black AEW World Champion. Danielson beats Swerve for AEW Championship at All In London. With all, kids in tow and stuff. The trio of Ospreay, Okada, and Moné all signing. Big Justice beats QT Marshall, Full Gear 0 Hour. That's shout out to Caleb, who probably doesn't even listen to this show. AEW signs new TV deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. Hangman burns down Swerve's house. Jack Perry and the Bucks attack Tony Khan. Mariah May bloodies Tony Storm. And the Hurt Syndicate debut. Match of the year. Again, cage match. Straight cage match. Danielson versus Ospreay, Dynasty. Danielson versus Strickland, All In London. Takeshita versus Ospreay, Revolution. Darby Allin and Sting versus the Young Bucks, AEW Revolution. Darby Allin versus Will Ospreay, AEW Dynamite 272, Holiday Bash. Takeshita versus Ricochet versus Ospreay, Wrestle Dream. Strickland versus Ospreay, Forbidden Door. Fletcher versus Ospreay, Full Gear. Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland at All Out. And the one I added, Will Ospreay versus Okada, AEW World's End 2024. This is why I waited until after World's End, because I thought there might be a match to add. Women's match of the year, much shorter list. And there's a name that you might see a few times. Mercedes Moné, Chris Statlander at Full Gear. Mercedes Moné versus Willow Nightingale at Double or Nothing. Mercedes Moné versus Chris Statlander at AEW World's End. Chris Statlander versus Willow Nightingale at All Out in Street Fight. And Tony Storm versus Mariah May at All In London. Tag Team of the Year. So Tag Team, I'm just throwing this in there, was a little not great last year in AEW. So I've combined Tag Team and Trios. Okay, I put including trios. So right. Young Bucks, FTR, Private Party, Sting and Darby Allin, Outrunners, even though I think Sting and Darby Allin only wrestled one match last year, but it was amazing, so there you go. Outrunners, who got hot, House of Black, the trio, Death Riders, the Patriarchy, who were trios champions, and Bang Bang Gang, which is Switchblade and the Guns. I made sure to... The House of Black only has 3 guys, so, I didn't feel like the need to differentiate which 3. Women's Wrestler of the Year, Mercedes Moné, Willow Nightingale, Timeless Toni Storm, Chris Statlander, and Mariah May. And it's funny, only comment I'll say is it was clearly one person until, the last month, and then it has become another person. And then AEW's Men's Wrestler of the Year, Jon Moxley, Hangman Page, MJF, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay, and Konosuke Takeshita. I want to thank everyone that fills out of the one of these in advance for doing it. We appreciate you. Like I said, I try to keep it short so you don't have to spend too long, dedicate too much time doing it. But if you want to go back and watch matches or whatever, we're not going to close this until the 15th. That's going to be the close.
Yeah, so be sure to get your votes in, though, when you guys get the chance, because we want to hear your guys' results, what you guys feel like.
And yes.
We feel like there's a lot to choose from, obviously. There was a lot of good in AEW this past year.
Yes, so definitely. Get it, pass it along to everybody you know. Let them all enter. Man, they can win some tickets. They all in, and even if they go, they can make a little money on the resale market.
There you go. But that is going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this World's End review and Fight for the Fallen review episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and sticking with AEW and sticking with All Things Elite for that matter. And be sure to, guys, continue to support this podcast moving into 2025. We're very excited for this brand new year that we get to talk about AEW. Be sure to continue to download this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on, and turn automatic downloads on so you don't miss an episode. Share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and follow up, rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. You can also follow us at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, and Floyd can also tell you where you can find us on Blue Sky as well, if you ever choose so.
It's
as well.
The same name. So there it's you
exact
go.
Same. Hey,
yes. At AT Elite Pod on Blue Sky.
There you go. And now, Floyd, you can go ahead and take us home for this episode of All Things Elite.
Super important thing. I meant to say it at the beginning of the show. Make sure you go on either YouTube or the Social Suplex feed. Tunnel Talk, a show under the Social Suplex, did an interview with the Young Bucks, and it was only like 50 minutes long. They gave a lot of information. It's been aggregated to hell on social media, Fightful, Wrestling Observer. This was a big thing. They hadn't done a lot of interviews recently, and they did an interview with Tunnel Talk. Shout out to the ladies of Tunnel Talk. That's amazing that y'all got that done. And I listened to the interview in its entirety. It was a fun listen. You actually get a kind of an insider take on like how things go around in AEW. So I think it's a good listen. And like I said, it's kind of a quick listen. So they got good information, but it was very much like the Jimmy Fallon. Like, it was like, hey, I love you kind of interview. So it was great. So definitely go ahead and check that out and make sure you're listening to the rest of the Social Suplex. They did a FOH draft, the fuck out of here draft. It's a yearly tradition for Social Suplex. They have, if you go to Social Suplex Twitter, they have their pay hip, which is you go download the show and give them a little donation. They do it every year. I want everybody to listen and download if you can. They get drunk as the show is going, so their takes get a little wilder as they keep drinking. And they were pretty drunk when it started. So it was an amazing show. I, of course, downloaded it already because I'm always going to support my boys. But make sure you're listening to that show. And with that, okay, so that's all the news. With that, it's New Year. If you sucked last year, New Year, new me. Go for it. If you were already awesome last year, just keep being the same person. And if you were great, but you feel like you need a little work, hey, do the little work. But whatever it is, make sure you're doing it to make you happy and then to hopefully brighten the world of the people around you. There's a lot of pressure when New Year comes to make a resolution or to change everything about you. But really, it's just a time to look into who you are as a person and decide if you want to change it or not. I'm actually very happy with who I am as an individual, so ain't shit changing. All right, maybe I get a little less loud, you know, but I'm still going to be me. And I'm hoping Austin stays awesome, Austin, because he's fucking awesome. Hope Sydney stays Sydney, because she's fucking awesome. But I know all the people I know. I have some awesome people in my life. And so I want them to stay who they are. But if you need a change, maybe you need a little lose weight, maybe you want to look at a job, maybe you want to learn how to save money, look at it as what it is. It's a great way to improve on who you are. But don't make it the end of the world if you don't get there. It's great because you're fine the way you are. You made it this far in life. So with that, I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do best to be elite.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.